You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Would you pray with me? And so, Holy Spirit, we start this morning by saying thank you. Thank you that through Christ's death and resurrection and his promise to send us another one to be with us and to help us until we see you face to face, Jesus. Thank you that this Spirit is dwelling in us right now. And so we have reason to live. We have reason to sing. The same Spirit that rose Jesus' dead body from the grave is the exact same Spirit that lives in us right now. And so we have reason to hope. We have reason to expect, oh God, that you are doing a significant work in each and every one of us. We have reason to believe that in this time of worship, there are things in our own hearts that you are ready to bring back to life again. And we give you permission, O Spirit of God, to move with power in this place. Father God, we also remember on this Memorial Day weekend what tomorrow is about. And it's about remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us in this nation to live in the great freedoms that we have. Father, we pray for the families who are still grieving those who have passed in warfare, that you would bring them peace and healing in their hearts. Father, we pray with all of our hearts for the day when there will be no more war. And so no more lives will be laid down through violence and people against people. Until that day, O God, we pray that you would comfort those who get caught up and the violence that we bestow on each other. We pray that you would heal broken hearts. And we pray that you would remind us always, Jesus, what you told us, that there is no greater love than this, but that one would lay down his life for his friends. And so as we remember them, Jesus, we also remember you and your great love for all of us. That you would willingly lay down all of your freedoms, all of your glory, all of your power, so that we might be with you forever. What wondrous love is this? And that's why we're here, Jesus. That's why we praise you this morning, because the best we know how, we want to love you right back. Would your heart be blessed by what happens in this place? As we worship in your Spirit together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start with verses 1 to 15, and then we're going to jump to verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And then he goes on to give a beautiful long sermon about Jesus. Pick up in verse 32. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received power from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear." And then down to verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls to him.' And he testified with them many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They'd sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Would you pray with me? And so, Spirit of God, just as you fell on that gathering of 120 or so people on that day, so many years ago, would you fall on this gathering of 120 or so people on this day? Transform our hearts just like you transformed their hearts. Leave us asking with the most sincere of intentions, what should we do? And Spirit of God, guide us in the faithful steps that you are asking us to take as your people this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that God has a big plan? And did you know that this time between Jesus's resurrection and return is actually part of that big plan? Did you know that God actually meant for these in-between years of his people filled with his Spirit, living in community, carrying on the work of Jesus together, God actually meant for that to be the way that his kingdom comes? The story of the Spirit coming down and the church being born, we revisit it every single year because it reminds us of God's great big plan. And it calls to us to stay involved or to get involved in it. So I invite you on this Pentecost Sunday, my friends, lean in. This is our story. And it's a pretty cool story. Acts 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they're all together in one place. So we've got to ask every year, what's Pentecost? Pentecost is the Jewish feast day that commemorates the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. That's what Pentecost is. Who are they that it refers to? According to Acts 1, verse 15, it says there would have been about 120 people, the 11 disciples, and others who were already faithful followers of Jesus. So imagine a group about our size hanging out together, waiting to see what God was going to do. And why were they together? Luke chapter 24, verse 49, we find the very last instruction that Jesus gives his disciples. He says, "I'm sending you what my Father promised. So stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So then we ask, well, what has the Father promised? John 14, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate, helper, to be with you forever." This is the Spirit. And so the believers are together in one place because the last thing they heard from Jesus was hang out in Jerusalem until the Father comes through on his promise. They weren't quite sure what this power from on high stuff meant, but they knew that they were told, get together and wait. Have you ever felt like you were waiting for God to make good on a promise? And have you ever began to question while you were waiting, did I actually hear God right about that in the first place? Does this really make all that much sense? Those folks who were around on that day that the church was born, they get it. This waiting on God, this trusting God, even when we cannot see where he is or what he's doing, this is what our story is made of. And if nothing else, Pentecost tells us that whatever promise of God you are waiting on, hold on, because we have a God who keeps his promises. Verse 2. Suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Try to see that. Try to feel that. It gets a bit crazier. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them. A tongue rested on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So we got to ask, what's up with this wind and this fire stuff? That's kind of weird, right? Both in Hebrew and in Greek, the languages of Scripture, the same word for spirit. In Hebrew, it's ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. In both of those languages, this word for spirit is the same word that is used for wind or breath. And so this rush of wind, this rush of pneuma filled the room. God's breath, God's spirit is moving in. And then we've got those flames, that fire. Think about Scripture. Think about where you see fire in Scripture. And you've got Moses at the burning bush, right? And God's spirit is in that place. The fire is the presence of Yahweh himself. You've got the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness. Where the fire was, there God's presence was. You've got the prophet Elijah calling down fire from heaven to consume his altar in front of those prophets of Baal. And God shows up in that fire saying, there is one Yahweh, there is one God. This fire, the one who brings it down, is he. Where there is fire in Scripture, there is God. The wind, the breath, there is spirit. What's the clear message of Pentecost right off the bat? That whatever's happening in this room with these people is God's doing. God has shown up. This is God's dream that's happening. This is God's plan. This is God's initiative. This is God's baby being born. And so whatever's going to come from this Pentecost moment, which we will see will be the gathering of God's people together as church, these worshiping communities that will begin to share life together, to share mission together in Jesus' name. We didn't just make this up. This is God's big idea. The wind and the fire, God did this. On a holiday weekend, when basically everybody else that you know is camping or fishing or sleeping or barbecuing, why are you here doing this thing that we still call church together? There's lots of reasons for me, but at the very top of my list is because this right here that we have together, us, people who love Jesus and who are doing our very best to love him together, it is God's plan. It is God's heart. And in a world that constantly tells me to just do me, to just do what I want and when I want, and how I want. I don't know about you, but I need this time every single week to step away from that message and actually do what my God wants. Amen. To live into his dreams for at least an hour or two. I call him Lord. At the very least, I want to participate with what my Lord has shown me is in. And what he is for. The day that the church broke out started with wind and with fire. God telling his people, pay attention. This is my big plan. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, telling the good news of Jesus. Who gets the power to proclaim the gospel when the Spirit shows up? Every single believer who's caught up in his presence. There are 120 people that day, and there is no indication that a single one of them is left out of this Spirit-filling, gospel-testifying miracle. And this sets a precedent that will be seen throughout the entire book of Acts. And that is that the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit shows up, the Spirit does not discriminate. Everyone who is caught up in the presence of the Lord has a word of good news to share about the goodness of our Lord. There were women and there were men in the room that day. There were young people and old people, educated and uneducated. There were achievers and there were great failures. There were the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong. And when the Spirit breaks out in tongues of fire among them, none of that matters in the least. The Spirit rested on each one. And each one began to speak in the language of a lost person in the crowd, a word of salvation that person desperately needed to hear. Each one of them was entrusted with preaching the words of life. Each one of them was given a place right then and there with God on mission. That's the story of how the church was born. And that is still true about this thing called church. I don't know if any of your other Facebook algorithms are quite as depressing as mine, but I get updates on the Southern Baptist Convention all the time. I don't know why. This week, the big news in the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's where I came from, that's my people, was that Al Mohler, he's a president of a seminary in the SBC, very, very influential leader in the denomination. He is making a push at this year's Southern Baptist Convention to say that all SBC churches must eliminate any church that calls a woman a pastor in any role in their church life at all. Even if she's called a children's pastor, if the word pastor is in her name, he's saying, let's kick them out. Let's take care of this matter once and for all because they're not doing church right. It's all over my Facebook feed. It's not very exciting. As I've been reading this on the week of Pentecost, I can't help but think, you know, it would be good on this Pentecost Sunday for Al Mohler and those who parade behind him to remember the day that we were born, when this was still God's big idea, and we hadn't messed it up quite so much. Trying to enforce who gets to participate in preaching and teaching about the heart of Jesus and who doesn't. Who fits the rules that we have made and who gets labeled unqualified. So just push them out. They don't belong. The day the church was born, every single person who is simply present and waiting on God's Spirit got it. And when they got it, all of them had an immediate calling to preach the good news of Jesus to the people right in front of them. Every one of them. I don't know if you know this, but our church has a 1-star review on Google Maps. What? Did you even know that Google Maps had reviews? Like, who does that? But I guess before you waste your gas, it's good to know where you're going, right? Especially these days with prices as they are. But we've got this 1-star review on Google Maps. And if you read it, it says, great band, but I personally don't like female pastors. It's okay, this is old news for me. But I read that, I think, like, you don't like any of us? Because there's like 120,000 female pastors in America. That's a lot of people to just not like. Some people say things like, don't go to BCC because they just let anybody be a part. And I get this weekly email in my feed that says some company, I can pay a service to them, and they will get rid of that 1-star review for us. And I realized, you know, I could remove those posts that say, oh, they let too many people in, that make it sound like including is bad. Or I could pay the money to get rid of the 1-star review. But I don't. Because in my heart of hearts, I think that posts like that and reviews like that, though they're meant to be negative, to me, they actually show the world that we're doing something that looks a little bit like Pentecost. We're looking a little bit like that church that day 2,000 years ago when the Spirit of God showed up and 120 incredibly diverse people started preaching the good news together. And in that moment, gender didn't matter. And which denomination they got their doctrine from, it wasn't even a thing yet. Whoever was open and present to the presence of God that day, they got the presence of God that day. And with it, they had a job to preach it. My friends, we, all of us, are part of God's big plan. As we keep creating sacred space for hearts to come and encounter the presence of God. And with that encounter, to be ushered into a calling by this same God. God gets to decide who his presence falls upon, not us.
Amen. Amen.
We just make room for every heart to be in the room when God's Spirit fills this space. The day the church was born, whoever wanted to be caught up in that Spirit's first breath was. I love that. I say keep the reviews, keep the 1-stars. They just show a church that is humbly but sincerely trying to share in God's big plan. And it's a good plan. Verse 5. Now there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it we hear each of us in our own language?" In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Those who preached the good news that day were diverse. Even more diverse, those who received the good news. On the day the church began, there were many immigrants in Jerusalem, Jews from all kinds of nations who had come to this city for work. And pretty much all of these people would have been proficient in speaking Greek. They got by with life speaking Greek. But when the Christians began to speak, they didn't just speak Greek, which would have worked just fine, but they began to speak in these folks' heart languages. Acts chapter 2 names all the languages that were being spoken at once. I tell you this every single Pentecost, so you probably know it by now. But the one's heart language, what is that? That is the language that comes out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with the hammer. That is your heart language. Whoops, that's good. These Christians were speaking the glories of God in the heart languages of all the people there. So on the day that the church was born, this strong message resounded. And it said that the things that happen among God's people will be the things of the heart. They will be the things that get to the deepest parts of us and change us from the inside out. You see, from day one, church was never meant to be just another social gathering, just another thing to do during the week on a busy calendar. The church, this dream that came from God, the first thing that the Spirit put together when he showed up on earth, was never to be taken lightly. On that first day, transformation happened, and it started deep inside when thousands heard the gospel in their heart language. And every single week, as we step into this place, we are expecting the Holy Spirit to show up and shake us up from the inside out just the same. Our stepping into this very room is a statement that we actually want something deep inside of us to be changed and to come alive. And we are giving one greater than ourselves permission to actually move us every time we step in these doors. From that day on, this thing called church would be open to all. Liberal and conservative, Arab and American, married and single, broken and redeemed, Parthians, Medes, Elamites. They heard the good news and they were invited to start church together. Their skin tones covered the whole spectrum, as did their political ideologies and their family systems. We're talking dozens of cultures, all starting church together. That's how it was right off the bat. That these doors might be open to any who might call on Jesus as Lord. That's how it was. And that's how God still dreams that it can be. We open these doors widely. And that's how we participate in God's big plan. Peter starts preaching. He goes back to the prophets and he declares clearly that Jesus is the promised one. He tells of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, how they had just seen him alive a few days before. His entire sermon is all about Jesus. He makes it clear Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Jesus is worthy of our love. Jesus is worthy of our very lives. And his sermon gets the response that every single pastor dreams of. The people are cut to the core and they say, "What should we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and get baptized, all of you, in Jesus' name." And that day, 3,000 of them were added into God's big church. God's big plan for his people to gather around Jesus, that Christ might be the center of who we are and of everything that we do together. Those who got baptized that day, They got baptized in the name of Jesus. And they begin to gather every week and tell each other again the stories of Jesus. And they come to the table every day and they break the bread and they drink the cup and they say, remember Jesus. And they start sharing all their belongings with each other. And they say, we belong to each other because of Jesus. And they go to the temple, it says, every day and worship, every day declaring their love for Jesus. And then they come back to homes together. And they say, be in my home. I'm going to love you because we both love Jesus. God's big plan was for groups of his people to intentionally share their hearts and their time and their energy and their resources together, all in the name of Jesus. These gatherings, they're how the stories of Jesus would be passed on and lived out. It's how the mission of Jesus would be shared. It's how the heart of Jesus would be experienced. It's all about Jesus, about real people committing to life together so they could know him for real and make him known together. These Christ-centered communities, go figure, it's God's big plan. Crazy and messy as we can be, it's God's big plan. What's what makes church different from the Elks or the Eagles or Kiwanis or Rotary or your pinochle group or just some friends who take walks in the woods together on Sundays? Those are all good things. But God's big thing is for his people to commit to sharing life and worship together in the name of Jesus, for Jesus, that it might all be about Jesus. And so when we make an effort to come together, even when we would kind of like to be somewhere else, and when we choose to gather with these people, even when we connect more easily with other people, and when we leave those places that make us the center of the universe to show up in this place where Jesus is the main event, where his heart is the main attraction, where his children are actually doing the hard work of grace and kinship, that's when we are participating and God's big plan. Christ-centered communities of people sharing lives together, showing up for Jesus and for each other. Others saw this and they just joined in droves. Notice this first church didn't have to go and plan a mission trip to go out and find the lost. Their lives together of true devotion to Jesus and to each other, that was their testimony to the world. How they treated each other, it looked a whole lot like love. And that Jesus they just kept talking about sounded a whole lot like love. And turns out the lost came running because who doesn't want to be caught up in the truest of loves? God's big plan for his kingdom coming. It's still real people loving Jesus and devoting themselves to life together in Christian community. The question for this Pentecost Sunday, are you participating in God's big plan? What better day than Pentecost to receive God's Spirit anew and to fully devote yourself to loving Jesus and sharing your life with this community of folks who are loving him too? What better day than today to just say, oh yeah, I'm going to be fully a part of that. It's still God's big plan. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of God's big plan. Would you pray with me? So God, you could have chosen a million different ways for your kingdom to come, that you chose that it might come through us, us messy, flaky, fragile, selfish, distracted people. who sometimes get it right in the ways that we love you and love each other, and lots of times fall short. Thank you for your grace to still want us to be part of your big plan. Thank you for your invitation to be fully in with your heart today as we love our Jesus and participate in Christian community. May the life we share together show the world around us that there's room for them to be loved too. Would you bring them in droves into our community of faith so we might just worship you all the louder and all the more? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.